Choir, thank you for the voices. Amen. Mary sang like she has something to sing about. Okay. Sometimes back in the day when I worked out, I had my best workouts on my worst days. You know, and it's good to sing when you've had a long week. Have something to thank God for. And you've been through some things and you've seen God bring you through some things. Amen. Amen. We're going to go back, and time has gotten away from us a little, but that's okay. Amen. All right. They say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen. Amen. We're back in Mark as we are at our fourth sermon out of the book of Mark, out of seven. And we're going to climax everything on Resurrection Sunday. We're going to talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. We're in Mark 15 today. We've covered Mark 14. We have talked about Mary's prayer in Mark 14:1, the alabaster box, and how she anointed Jesus for his burial. Then we talked about Jesus' prayer for strength, praying in your darkest hour. We talked about that on out of Mark 14:26-42. We have these CDs available if you wanted the whole series on them. Mark 14:53-62. Last week we talked about Peter's denying the Lord three times. Three times. He denied the Lord. And God restored him. We're going to talk about that somewhere down the road. But today we're going to talk about the greatest change. We're going to talk about the greatest change. How God exchange his son for a criminal. And the name is Barabbas, but we can all put our names there.
Yes, Lord.
That's one area you can just fill in the blank. Because he died for us. He died for us. Let's look at Mark 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests... Oh, excuse me. Let's all stand for God's word. I'm just ahead of myself. I get excited about preaching God's word. Amen. Let's stand. Dion, let's stand. You young folks, there's going to be a day coming when you won't be able to stand. Okay? So stand while you can and give honor to the word of God and to the author of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And straightway, verse number 1 of Mark 15. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered, said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing?" Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing. So that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whosoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying out loud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy.
Amen.
But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil have he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him, my Lord, my Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for the boldness that the Word of God proclaims Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for this sinless, spotless Lamb of God who died for our sins. Father God, we come today, we just want to learn of him. Father God, we ask that you would just be a blessing today. Make it so plain, Father God, that the youngest one in here, Father God, will understand. For you said in your word, forbid not the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Father God, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The great exchange. The great exchange. The great exchange. Here we find after last week, Peter, we had the first trial and it was the religious trial. And the Jews could not put anyone to death. They did not have the right to put anyone to death. Unless we ask Stephen. But they had not the right to put anyone to death. So they had to not only have a religious trial, which they found him guilty, then they had a civil trial. A trial before the Sanhedrin, which consisted of 71 people. 46 elders, 24 priests, and the high priest, who was the overseer of everything. And lest we forget one thing, that the job of the high priest and his council was to sacrifice animals. They overseen how they brought animals to the temple. So death was nothing new to these people. But that's another subject and maybe we'll get there today. But we see in verse 1 of 15, straightway in the morning. Now, this trial had gone on all night, which was illegal. It was an illegal trial set up by a kangaroo court, and it was illegal. So the reason that they was early in the morning is so they wouldn't agitate the people. So the people were still asleep other than Barabbas folks. See, Barabbas folks had came out to this trial because they knew that Pilate had to release one person. Okay? And I believe they knew Pilate. And he was notorious. He was evil. And he did not want to crucify our Lord and Savior. So what would a warden here? We have an ex-warden here. But what would a warden do? And Pilate was acting as a warden. So basically he was saying, listen, if you want me to do that, then I'm going to release the worst thing I have in this prison. Thinking that they would back away. But they were headstrong. They were united and they were together in this mock kangaroo court. Listen what it says in verse 1. It said, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation. That word consultation, I mean, they had came together with an evil plan, and they was all on one accord. Okay? They were all on one accord with this evil plan. And it's something when church folk come together with an evil plan. These were religious folks, okay? Now, these were the most religious folks of that day. These were the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, and the whole council. And they came together, held a consultation. Basically, they wanted to make sure they were all on one accord, making sure that nothing was going to go wrong with the plan that they had set up. They wanted Jesus destroyed. And this didn't just start here. A week ago prior to the Passover, remember the story when Lazarus had came to whom Jesus had raised from the dead, had came to Simon's house. And the religious rulers of that day stood outside and they conspired a plan on how to kill Lazarus. They were just killers. They wanted to kill Lazarus because the word of God said because of him, many Jews had went away and had been following Jesus. So they didn't want to just kill Jesus. They wanted to kill anyone who witness would bring lost folks to salvation. Does anybody want to kill you? Somebody ought to want to kill the saint. If you're on your job and you blessing folks and you folks is getting saved and walking away from cussing and drinking and fornicating and adultery and you at that job and you doing this, folk ought to want to kill you. Folk ought to be mad at you. We talked about that this morning a little bit. Folk ought to be mad at saints. You ought to have some folk mad at you. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. All you have to do is live right. Somebody going to be mad at you. Folk will get mad at you because you keep your yard nice. They'll be mad at you because you don't have a barbecue grill on your front porch. Folk just get mad at you if you're doing what's right. And if your kids got perfect attendance in school, they'll be mad at you. Who you think you is? I hear you, Deacon Oliver. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus. They thought they bound Jesus. They tied him up, but they had to know that here you got a man tied up that have raised the dead, healed the blind eye, healed the lepers. You think you had him bound up? They thought they had him bound up. You can't bound up Jesus. You can't bound up Jesus. And they bound Jesus and carried him away, thinking they was doing something, and delivered him to Pilate. Delivered him to Pilate for this civil trial. They had already found him guilty. They've been after him forever. And this is one of the reasons why when Peter pulled that sword in the Garden of Gethsemane, God quickly put his ear back on. Because see, Peter was being used by the devil. He was trying to have Jesus, Satan was, murdered before the time. See, Jesus had to get to the cross. Folks, let's not forget that. Jesus had to get to the cross. He came to die. And the Bible said he was set like flint to get to the cross. So when we was able to, the Jews killed him. The Jews didn't kill him. Okay? God killed him. God sacrificed his only begotten son. Okay? And we know John 3:16. He died for us that we would have eternal life. The Jews didn't kill him. This is what it says in verse 2. After they had delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked Jesus, verse 2, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, Pilate was saying this. He basically said, are you the king of the Jews? He was probably looking for some warrior, some madman. He knew what an insurrectionist would look like. I imagine Barabbas was a mean son of a gun.
Yes, he was.
And he come to Jesus. Now, remember, if you study this in the book of John and Luke, Pilate had already sent him to Herod.
Yes, sir.
And Herod sent Jesus back clothed in a purple robe, and he had just made a fool out of Jesus, or thought he did, not knowing that he was only fulfilling prophecy. So here's Jesus in a purple robe, and they mocked him and spit on him and did all this, and he's standing before the most powerful man in that region, and he's saying, and then the Jews are saying, this is the king of the Jews. And he's going to overthrow Caesar, he's going to overthrow Rome, and Pilate's looking at Jesus in verse 2 and saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Sort of like Goliath, when Goliath looked at David and said, are you kidding me? Are you sending out this to fight me? And this is what Pilate is saying. He said, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered and said unto him, thou sayest it. That's the last word he's going to say. He said, I am. I am. Mary just saying, I am. I am. Thou sayest it. Thou sayest it. And really what he's saying to Pilate this time, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Because I will be back. And I won't have on this purple robe. When I come back, I'm going to have all power. And the chief priest, verse 3. And the chief priest. The chief priest. Accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. You ever been accused of something? Let me help somebody in here. Because folks are going to accuse you. Do what's right, folks are going to accuse you. Look what the Bible says. When somebody accusing you of stuff. See, this is a lesson here. When you leave here, folks accuse you. They accuse you. Some of you folks, are young people in here, get accused for getting good grades. They'll call you a sucker. Just for getting good grades, they're going to accuse you. Here's what the Proverbs said. This is worth writing down. Proverbs 26 and 4. When somebody accuses you. He said, answer not a fool according to his folly. Lest thou be also like unto him. Two fools. See, don't argue with a fool. When you know you ain't done nothing, you don't have nothing to worry about. See, if you're riding around in your car and you ain't registered, your license is suspended, you don't have no insurance, you got an open beer can under the seat, now you in trouble. You got something to worry about. You got something to worry about. But if you ain't done nothing, just pull over. I ain't got a holler at the pay. Oh, he's pulling me over because I'm black. That might be why he's pulling you over, but you ain't got to worry about it because you're black. You pull out your insurance card, your driver's license, and say, how you doing, officer? That's a good thing if you live in an all-white neighborhood. I'd like to pull over some of the ones drive through my place. Check them out. Well, you pay all them taxes. Alright. Can I help somebody? My point is, you don't have nothing to worry about if you ain't done nothing. Jesus said, you ain't got to worry about it. I ain't going to answer you fools. This is what he said. Art thou the king of the Jews? Yes. You know that because Herod told you. Listen. Let's go to Matthew. Please. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew. 2. They knew who he was. Pilate knew who he was. Herod, who he is, just returned from, knew he was. Matthew 2, verse 1. Listen. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Okay? And we just come back from sin. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Wait a minute. Let's stop right there. Let me make this plain. Where is he that is born King of the Jews?
That's what they said.
That's what they said. For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. That's a lesson for us today. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. They knew who he was. They knew who he was, and they knew what his duty was, his job was. Don't be fooled. Folk know who Jesus is. And they may act a fool and do whatever they want to do, but they know who Jesus is. And the word of God say, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, and every knee shall bow. Not every knee might bow. You're going to bow. You're going to bow. And I can always say, everybody in hell, believe in Jesus. Everybody in hell, excuse me, believe in Jesus. Everybody. Everybody. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus answered nothing. Answered nothing. A fulfillment of prophecy.
Yes, he did.
Okay? A fulfillment of prophecy. Somebody say Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53.
Somebody say Isaiah 53. We know what it says.
We
know surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. Mm-hmm. All we like sheep
have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed,
and he was,
yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter,
and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened up not his mouth.
Amen. 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 I don't need a PowerPoint presentation. Amen. Isaiah was written 600 years prior to this. So all Pilate was doing was fulfilling prophecy. And Jesus saying, Jesus answers nothing. You don't have to answer nothing. You don't have to answer to the world. We try to answer to the world. Pilate represents the world. Man of God, woman of God, child of God. You do not have to answer to the world. Persecution is what you get. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall be persecuted. You ain't going to fit in everywhere. You're not going to be invited everywhere. And folks going to say, "Why? Where was you at? Why didn't you come? Why don't you get high? Why don't you drink? Why you dress like that? Why you wear a tie? Why you wear long dresses?" You don't have to answer to them. Listen, listen. But Jesus answered nothing. He talked to me. Why you wear a collar? All the other preachers, I don't have to answer to you. Why you wear a collar all the time? I want people to know that I'm clergy. Somebody at Walmart might need me to pray for them. Somebody at the gas station might need me to pray for them. Why don't you wear a collar? Because you don't want people to know you clergy. I'm not a businessman. I'm a preacher. But I don't have to answer to them. Listen. Listen to what it says. So that Pilate marveled. Oh, let me tell you something. Do you have a testimony that the world marvels at? Ask yourself that. Do you have a testimony that the world is amazed at? Are you living an amazing Christian life? Are you living an amazing Christian life when the world look at you and they're amazed? How did you do that? How did you stop doing this? Because when God saved me, He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And when I got filled, I got power, wonder working power. And I was able to break down some strongholds. I was able to walk away from some stuff. I was able to lose some stuff here, gain some stuff here. What happened when you got saved? When you got filled? You got some power. Oh, I'm so tired of powerless Christians. No power. Like a car going on the freeway in the fast lane going 30. Blinking your lights at them, everything. They ain't pulling over. Powerless. Some of us need a tune-up. Some of us need a tune-up. Do you have a testimony that the world marvels at? Think about that. We ought to want to be the best. We ought to want to be the best at everything we do. And then we want to thank God for it. I want to thank God for this. I want to thank God for this. We ought to want to have the best marriages. As men of God, we ought to want to have a marriage that the world marvels at. Look at them. How they doing that? How they staying together? How they young and getting married and staying married? You can't stay married on your own. I don't care how much you love each other. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. I don't care how beautiful your wife is. She's still flesh. You need the Lord. You want to live a life that glorify God. You want to be the best employee. Same folk, always running late, last one punching in, getting disciplined, kicked off their job. You saved, man. You ought to be the best employee. You ought to be the best student. You ought to be the best kid at daycare. You know the Lord. No kids can get kicked out of school in the second grade. When I was coming up, the teacher called home. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm dead. Teacher called my father. I got hit by a car going running home. I was so scared. And the teacher called. And I was like, oh, Lord, the teacher called. I got hit by a car. The car was backing out. I was running. The teacher, he just bumped me. And the teacher called home. I was like, oh. And my daddy said, the teacher called. I was like, oh, Lord. So he had them scissor cords with knocked it. Hanging in the refrigerator. Right. Make sure you've seen it.
That's right.
Like, the teacher called today. Really? What happened? Well, you got hit by a car. Oh, I'm all right. I thought I was wrong for hitting a car. She backed into me. You get kicked out of school in the second grade. I didn't even know you can get kicked out of school in the kindergarten. I didn't know that. There's some new stuff going on in this world. Listen. Now, at the feast. Okay, I'm going to get on. I get careless. Excuse me. I'll be trying to make a point. Now, at the feast. This is the Passover feast. Verse 6. He released unto them one prisoner. Whomsoever they desire. Listen, that was what he's saying is every feast, every year, Pilate, as a political gesture, a goodwill gesture, he will release one prisoner. Whomever the people desire. Well, because this was a kangaroo court, and Barabbas folks know this. Because see, if you study this in the other chapters, the priests went out into the marketplace and Acts 17:5 says, then they went out and they gathered up folk of the, we studied this word, the basin source. They would go out and get the down and outs and it would be sort of like we going out and getting all the crackheads and all them and bring all the drug addicts and the crackheads and the homeless people and bring them out and pay them. So they would say yes to whatever we said. And this is what the chief priests had done. Ain't this a shame when the chief priests mix up with the world like that? And this is what they had done. And so they had all these folks there that they had paid off. All these down and outs. And verse 7 says, and there was one named Barabbas. Now that's just curious why that's there. It said there was one named Barabbas, which means son of the father.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's what Barabbas means. Bar means father. Son of Abbas, father. That's why you hear Abba Father. You hear him say, Abba Father. So, Bar means father. So, anybody here with a son, if you was living in that day, it would be Bar Napier. Okay, that would be Napier's son. You even know that. So, here's Bar Rabbis. So, he's the son of father, which laid bound with them that had made insurrection. These folks had killed some folks. They had started an uprising, not against Pilate, but against the Jewish people. And Pilate knew this. And this is what it says. It says, who committed what? Murder and insurrection. Now this is a picture of the world. And see, the world is still doing this. We live in murderous times. And here's a picture of the world, Barabbas, a picture of the world living in murderous times. Everything is murder. Everything is bloody. Everything is gore. Listen. I took some notes because I don't know this stuff. I had to find this out. Gang violence, I got some things. Murder, weekly. It's weekly. You know, they had a celebration in Chicago about 15 years ago. And it was the first day in 50 years that somebody wasn't murdered in Chicago. You know, people in Chicago, folks, 500-600 people get murdered a year. That's a good year. Last year in Columbus, it was 188. They broke a record. And they're ahead of it already in Columbus. Okay. We live in a bloodthirsty world. When I thought about them young girls, we had a guy come out to the prison. He was teaching on this stuff going into you. Sort of like what we did on Friday nights. But you know the number one song in hip-hop is today? Now, I don't listen to this stuff. And I went online and sort of got the words to it. And I'm not going to say them all. But one of the number one songs, as you the young people, it's called Hit That B with a Bottle. Okay? It got a nice beat on to it. And it goes, you know, I'm in the club and we clubbing and all this. And a woman come up to me and says something to my man. And I didn't say nothing. I just hit that B with a bottle. Anybody heard that? Then it goes like this. It says, blaze that weed and stomp that beat till she bleed. Blaze that weed and stomp that beat till she bleed. Now, that's going in you. Now you wonder how six little young girls could jump on a cop and just fighting all week long at Cheney. And then you wonder because that's what's in them. And out of abundance of the heart, not only does the mouth speak, but the body follows what the mouth say do. So we live in that. And so here we look at this Barabbas who was convicted of murder and insurrection. And listen what the multitude saying in verse 8. And the multitude crying out loud to desire him. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had done ever before. Now they just egg and pile it on because they know what they're getting ready to do. Barabbas, folks, is there. But Pilate answered, trying to get out of it. He's a coward. Pilate is double-minded. Now he's trying to get out of this. He said, but Pilate answered them saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? In the world still today rejecting Jesus. They don't want nothing righteous. The world will say the same thing today. Crucify him. For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Boy, ain't nothing worse than envy.
Come on,
ain't nothing worse than envy.
Yes,
envy?
Yes,
envy leads to wrath, and wrath leads to malice, and malice leads to murder. So when you got a jealous streak in you, or envious streak in you, you better deal with that. Because that thing ain't going to grow. That thing ain't going to grow. Then you'll be doing, you'll be done something premeditated. They were moved with envy. Why did they envy Jesus? Because Jesus' plan was to go through. They would have lost everything. He had already went to the temple and turned everything over. He said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. But you turned it into a den of thieves. We got to watch what we do up in here. We got to watch what we do in the house of God, because some of these churches is dens of thieves. They preaching about money today. Money coming. I need a blessing. When the praises go up, blessings come down. I need a financial blessing. Malachi 3:8, we hear that all day. They say my house has been turned to a den of thieves. That word den in the Greek means resort. It means a party center. Buying and selling everything for sale, everything buying and selling. Charging folks for everything that go on in the church. But the chief priests moved the people. See, they moved the people. Now they prodding the people on. Do what we told you to do. They moved the people. Unsaved folks are easy to move. You don't have no anchor. See, when you unsaved, you just going with the flow. How many times you talk to somebody, say good morning, how you doing this morning? I'm just going with the flow. Just going with the flow. Let me tell you something. The flow is always going to the toilet. Nothing flows upstream. Okay? Nothing flows up. But a helium balloon or something. But you know, if you're going with the flow, best believe you're going to hell. Because that's where the flow going. It's going down. So next time somebody, hey, I'm just going with the flow. You better be like that great Solomon. Fighting the current.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Listen, but the chief priests would move the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them. Listen, that's what the people wanted. Who do you want? Who do you want? Who do you want? Jesus or Barabbas? I hear some of them young girls saying themselves, I just want me a thug. I just want me a thug. I want me a thug with the pants hanging down, and you know, I want me a thug. I just love me a thug. Okay. Say it when you get 30. And you got two babies by that thug. Then tell me you want a thug. Okay. It's quiet up in here. That's good. I like quiet churches. Some of y'all want a thug. Some of these boys want thug girls. You don't know what you're talking about. Look at her. Got everything out for everybody to see. And you want it. Rats. Rats. And Pilate answered again, verse 12, and said unto them, What will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews? Pilate is copping deuces, as we say. He is backpedaling. He is in a mess. And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? What evil has he done? What evil has he done? You know, if Jesus would have done one evil thing, he would not have been worthy to die for the sins of the world. He was without sin. He was without sin. He was without sin. We serve that kind of God. We serve that kind of God. What evil has he done? Listen. Where you at, folks? Where are we at as a church? What do we desire? What turns us, dare I say it, on? Well, what turns us off? Are we comfortable in the room with the base of sword? Do we have it? Does cussing and swearing offend us? Where are we at, church? Listen, if you were Barabbas, what would you say? What would you say if you were Barabbas? Would you say, I don't want Jesus to die for me. I want to stay in this pit. I want to stay in this cell. I want to go to the cross on my own terms. Would we say that? Are we saying that when we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Are we really saying, I don't want Jesus to die for me? I'm big and bad enough to die for myself. I don't need no Jesus. I don't need to be saved. I don't believe in heaven and I don't believe in hell. I believe when I die, I'm going to be just like the raccoon on the side of the road. It's just going to be over. So I will eat, drink, and be merry. Are you Barabbas? Are you saying I don't need Jesus today? I'm the self-made man. I'm the self-made woman. I got a degree. I got a good job. Do you need Jesus today?
Yes, sir.
Do you want Jesus to release you? He came to die. Yes. Luke 19:10 said the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That was his mission.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't know the Lord and you are here today, you don't know the Lord, you sitting in the same seat as Barabbas. You're in a dark dungeon.
Yes,
and if you was to die today, this is a dangerous street we live on. You could pull out of this church today and be in eternity. I didn't say in heaven. Because heaven is eternity and hell is eternity. But when you leave here, you're going somewhere. So somebody said, you know, Reverend Neil died. No, he didn't. You're going to live somewhere when this is over. Better to die twice than to die once. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I was once a Barabbas. I was a bad boy. I didn't care about the things of God. I didn't care about Jesus. I didn't care about the Bible. I did what I was big and bad enough to do. But then one day, one day when I was dead in my sins, thinking I had it going on, driving Cadillac, on my way to a fiery hell, but God quickened me when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And he shook me up. And he said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. When I get done with you, Brother Neil, you have nothing to boast about because you hadn't done nothing. The only qualification needed to be saved is the fact that you are a sinner. Father God, save me. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we pray right now for someone in here today who think they are big and bad enough to die without a Savior. To die without Jesus being Lord. Matter of fact, it's maybe someone in here big and bad enough today that would leave this place taking for granted that they'll come back next week and give my life to the Lord. Father God, let them know that no man knows the day of or the hour. And your words say, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation. Don't harden your heart and walk 40 years in the wilderness. come to Jesus today. Father God, we pray right now that you would give somebody strength to rise up and say, I need Jesus today. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait another day. I'm going to accept him today as my personal Savior. And I'm going to join this church with these believers where the Word of God is being preached. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. I need a church home where folks love one another. Father God, we pray today. Father God, if you don't give them strength to come, Father God, give them strength to call. There's nothing biblical about walking an aisle. Father God, we need you today. We need you today more than ever, Father God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. The doors of the church are open. And they're not going to be open long today. Because I don't believe in begging folks and trying to seduce folks into making a decision that they really don't mean. You show that you're saved by what you do. Father God, the doors of the church are open. Thank you, Lord. We need the Lord, Father God. The signs of the time points to this thing being close to being over. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. The doors of the church are open still. Is there more? Is there another? You may just need to, after hearing the message, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. You may just need prayer. You may be in a situation, I need prayer. Amen.
He will save you just now. Just
only will save you. He will save you.